You are listening to the Tuesday, September 12th edition of RotoViz Radio, brought to you by MyBookie. I'm Pat Corain, on Twitter, at Pat Corain. And I'm flying solo for right now, but in just a few minutes, I'll have my brother Mike on for a segment here. And then the main guest this week will be George Kritikos of PFF Fantasy. We're going to be talking about week one and looking ahead at week two. But yeah, so in just a few minutes, I'm going to have on my brother Mike. We're going to be running through some prop bets that we made back on July 31st when we recorded an episode. So just after training camp opened, we made some prop bets with the stakes being that the loser was going to have to sit next to our Uncle Clem at Thanksgiving. When I recorded with Mike for this segment coming up, we weren't sure exactly when we'd made the bets, but it was just after training camp opened, and I think you can tell by, you know, we weren't sure who the Browns starter was going to be. We were worried about Carlos's Hyde role, etc. So that should be a lot of fun. And then we're going to be getting into the week one action with George as well. So stick around for that. I do want to remind you that you can get a listeners only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the RotoViz NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription is going to give you unlimited access to all of our premium NFL content, of which there's still a ton of great stuff at RotoViz throughout the season. And that also helps support the podcast. If you also want to support the podcast by rating us on iTunes, that is tremendously helpful. And you can always contact us at rotovizradio@gmail.com or on Twitter at rotovizradio. But let's get into the first segment here, the prop bet breakdown with Mike Corain on Twitter at Mike Corain after this quick break. All right, I'm now joined by my brother, Mike Corain. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Corain. Mike, it's good to have you back on the show, and I think, you know, we can finally figure out who's going to have to sit next to Uncle Clem at Thanksgiving this year, because we had the prop bets that we set up a few weeks ago, and those have all come to fruition now that we're done with week one.
Yeah, I have my guard up because I forgot honestly like what these bets were, and so today, knowing that most of them would have been paid off, I texted you to be like, who won? And you were like, why don't you come on the show and we'll break it down, which I feel like means that you won. I don't know that you would have handled it that way had I won, so I'm a little nervous. I haven't looked at them, so yeah, I'm excited to get into it, so should be good.
All right, awesome. Yeah, no, let's jump right into it.
Okay.
So we'll just go down the list here, and starting with the first prop bet here, I'm going to change the order up slightly we first did them for dramatic effects.
Oh, no, I do not like this one bit.
All right, so starting with the first prop, the week one starting quarterback for the Browns, I said DeShone Kizer. You had anyone but Kizer. Really hanging some onions there for old PK.
No.
I take that one.
Yeah, that's one. So remind the listeners and me, if you don't mind, when did we actually do this, the first show where we made these bets? Do you remember like what the date was?
That's a great question. That probably should have something I should have looked up.
Yeah, it would be good. I mean, it's because it's just funny how the NFL like preseason and offseason works where, you know, at the time, like that would have seemed like a reasonable bet, I'm assuming, since I made it. But I mean, for the last like 10 days, at least, probably more like 2 to 3 weeks, it was very obvious that Kizer was going to start. So bad bet by me, off to a bad start.
I think you can see that this is pretty early on in training camp by some of the other bets that we made, specifically on Carlos Hyde. Let's just do that one now, actually. We had the 49ers week one touches leader at running back. I had Carlos Hyde and you had the field, so I take that one as well. Obviously you can see there that we were kind of talking about the uncertainty there with Carlos Hyde, and that cleared significantly later on.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think this must have been before, at least before the second preseason game, second or third, because it was very clear that they were using Hyde as a workhorse like pretty early on in the preseason. But I think this was probably in the heart of, you know, he might get cut, he might get traded, and therefore I was kind of just like, and other people were saying, you know, guys like Joe Williams, who's literally not going to play this year, we're going to take his job. So I was just kind of trying to cover all my bases, you know, or he gets hurt in the game. But obviously None of those came to pass. So you're up 2-0.
Up 2-0. But then we've got the week one starting quarterback for the Texans, and you had Tom Savage. I had Watson. So you get that one, although I feel like it's kind of a cheap victory for you, given that Watson, you know, was brought into the game.
No, if you recall, I urge anyone to go back and listen to our conversation about it. I predicted exactly what was going to happen. I said Savage was going to start. I mean, this is, I purely just based it on what happened last year, but right. I was like, you know, Savage is going to start. Bill O'Brien's going to go with the guy who played in his office last year, and then he's going to have an incredibly short leash, and he'll put in Watson for the second half.
Well, you nailed that one.
Yeah. Nailed it.
The next one here, the week one starting quarterback for the Broncos, you took Paxton Lynch, and I took Trevor Siemian.
Was there really a need to structure this for dramatic effect, or did you just beat the shit out of me? This is not going great.
I'm up 3-1 here, up 3-1.
Okay.
All right, so then this was a good one for you. I remember at the time feeling like I didn't take any I was giving value on this one. Either Joe Flacco or Andrew Luck would miss week one. I had to get both of them starting. Flacco obviously did, but Andrew Luck not only going to miss this week, I think he's officially out for next week as well. So
he is, yeah. And to be honest, I was mildly surprised that Flacco suited up for week one. I mean, within a couple days before the game, it was clear that he would, but I definitely thought there was a solid chance that neither of them would play. So, like to your point, I like the value that I got there.
Yeah.
Coming back
3-2. All right. And then we got Ty Montgomery, week one touches.
Yes.
You took Montgomery. I had the field. That one was not close. You crushed me there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he, I could be wrong about this, but he was either first or second in running back snaps this week.
Didn't he have like 98% in the league or 95% of the snaps or something?
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, the few snaps he did not play, he came off the field. He rolled his ankle.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was like a pure workhorse. Wow. So, good one by me.
That's a big one. All right. So, that's tied up 3-3. So then,
I do not trust you. You're setting this up for me. For me to get my heart into it, and then you're going to crush it. I just know it.
All right, so now we have more touches. Joe Mixon versus Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard combined.
Ugh.
So you had Joe Mixon, and gross. I had the field. So that one, yeah, it wasn't that close. It wasn't, like, heavily tilted in Mixon's favor, or against Mixon, I should say, because Mixon had, I think, two catches in addition to eight rushes. So
so he was 10. What were the other two guys?
He was 11, actually. He had 8 rushes and 3 receptions. And then Gio had 1 reception. Jeremy Hill had 1 reception. And then they had 13 combined rushes. So it was 15.
Okay,
to 11.
So it was 15 to 11. All right. That's not as close as I would have thought. I didn't watch pretty much any of that game, which I'm a decision I'm very happy with. So, but just from kind of following the game later, it seemed like it was a pure committee, and Mixon was, you know, not breaking out. So,
right.
All right.
So that's so I'm now up 4-3, and so we got another one here.
That's right.
This one, as we're
How many do we have left? So we've done 7. How many did we do total?
6 left.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So I'm up 4-3 with 6 to go. And this next one here, week one touches, Mark Ingram versus Adrian Peterson. This one was close, but it was
actually,
Mark Ingram.
Well, yeah, Ingram did not play much. It was Kamara. I think I saw after the game, Peterson had 9 snaps, played in 9 snaps.
He rushed 6 times, and so did Ingram, though. The difference was, I guess it wasn't that close because Ingram then had 5 receptions, but that's where the difference came in. As rushers, they were actually tied.
Right. This was, you know, just like a big narrative streak call by me, which, you know, everyone was playing into on the broadcast. I don't know if you saw, but there was a shot of Peterson yelling at Sean Payton on the sideline where
I saw that.
Yeah, the Saints had the ball on the, I think, first and goal from like the 7, and he just didn't get in and was not too pleased about it. So, and neither was I, because now I'm down, what, 5-3?
5-3.
What do you make Alvin Kamara there? He actually had the most snaps. Or not, I think he did have the most snaps, but he also had the most touches. He had 7 rushes compared with 6 for the other two, and he had 4 receptions compared with 5 for Ingram.
Yeah, it's tough to say just based on one game. To me, it strikes me as kind of game script dependent, like, or as a result of game script. I mean, the Vikings pretty much by the end of the first half were in control, you know, up at least one, and at one point they were up 3 scores. So I think, you know, given that Kamara is like their natural receiving back, and that it, you know, seems like he's going to be playing kind of the Sproles Reggie Bush role, it makes sense to me that he was involved the most of the running backs. So I think, you know, it probably will be the same next week when they play the Patriots, because the Saints defense looked god awful. So, yeah. I would guess they'll be down in that game. But when they play a team, you know, if they're at home and they have a lead, you know, I think it'll be shift more towards Ingram and Peterson. But I mean, honestly, it seems like Peterson of the three is the one you'd want the least. Obviously, that's kind of an overreaction to one game, but at the same time, it's like week one, he's playing his former team in Minnesota. If he was going to get, you know, heavy involvement, this would be the game. And he had, as I said, 9 snaps. So,
yeah. Just one target.
We'll see.
Not going to be used in the passing game.
Yeah. And that target was, you know, people could look at that and say he got a red zone target. That was Drew Brees literally just threw the ball away. They did kind of like a play action bootleg, and everyone was covered. And Drew Brees was just trying not to get sacked. So he threw it at Peterson's feet. But that, you know, yeah, at no point was that a legitimate chance of him catching a touchdown. So, yeah, not looking good for old Adrian.
Nope. But one guy that things are looking good for after week one is Terrell Pryor. The next one here was
most targets. Ooh, good transition.
In Washington. Thanks, man.
and good at this.
You had Terrell Pryor. I took Jameson Crowder. Pryor obviously had a much bigger game. It was closer than you would think, given that Pryor had 11 targets and Crowder had 7. But I mean, you could see the way they were using Pryor. I was watching with Pete Overzet, and we were just both like, you know, it's going to be exactly the way that he was used in Cleveland. He's going to be getting the deep downfield stuff. You know,
yep.
Josh Hermsmeyer's air yards are, I'm sure, going to show that he, you know, was getting a ton of opportunity in that metric, just given how long some of the passes were that fell incomplete.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's in for a big role.
For sure, and I think he and Crowder are a great pairing because, you know, Crowder can shred people in that kind of short to intermediate stuff, and Pryor can take the top off. So, not a great showing from the Redskins in week one, but I think their offense is pretty interesting for the rest of the season.
Yep, me too. So, all right, so that's 5-4. Now we've got week one, Blake Bortles interceptions versus Seth DeValve targets.
Wow, and I had Seth DeValve targets, right?
You had Seth DeValve targets, so I can't believe that one was an easy win for you. Bortles really let me down by not throwing a single interception.
That's amazing. Let me ask you, are you following Blake Bortles facts on Twitter?
No, I'm not.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Enlighten us.
Okay. Anyone who's listening to this, including you, Pat, needs to follow Blake Bortles facts immediately. It's maybe the best account on Twitter. You know, stuff like Tom Brady and Blake Bortles have combined for 5 Super Bowls and 3 MVPs, you know, da da da. Like, you know, it'll be like, Blake Bortles only needs 5,800 passing yards to pass in this game to pass Peyton Manning for the all time lead. So it's a lot of very well done versions of that. I highly recommend it.
Awesome. Okay, so we are now tied 5-5.
And how many left? 1 or 2?
There's 3 left.
Okay.
So it's the next one here. Matt Forte versus Bilal Powell. I assume that means touches. That's all that I
guess
I have
so.
In here.
Did I take Matt Forte?
You took Matt Forte.
What is wrong with me? Why would I do that?
I don't know.
Oh god.
But you did. So
Thanksgiving
is
gonna suck.
All right. So now we are down to
what
two
were the
left.
By the way, what was the total touch count for them?
You know what?
I know Powell had more, but okay. I know he had more. I was just curious what the exact split was.
Yeah, I think snaps wise, they were pretty even. And I think Forte might have actually outsnapped him. But let's see, Powell had 7 rushes, Forte had 6, and then Powell had 5 receptions, so Forte's 3. So
okay, that's fairly close.
Yeah, fairly close. All right, this next one, you're down 1, so you need this. You need this.
Right. Something tells me I'm going to get it since you structured it this way. Go on.
Well, I don't know because this one is Antonio Brown. Okay. Antonio Brown's week 1 celebration pumps. Oh, you had over 2.5 pumps, and I have under 2.5 pumps.
Yikes.
So I have no idea how many pumps he had because, you know, I have better things to do than count his pumps.
Hey, easy. How dare you denigrate the pump tracking industry? I feel like the amount of like amazing fantasy tools and analysis that have blossomed over the last, 4 or 5 years is really incredible. But tracking pumps is a yet untapped niche. So anyone listening,
chart those
big
pumps.
Opportunity out there. Yeah, and then let us know who won because we don't know.
We don't know.
Do we? I mean,
so this one, you need to be over 2.5 pumps.
Okay.
To tie it up here, which right. I don't know if you were.
Okay, but it doesn't matter because I lost. Go on.
Well. So this is a little bit of a controversial one, which is why I saved it for last.
Oh, interesting.
Game suspended for Ezekiel Elliott. I had over 1.5. You had under 1.5. Now I think I won this one. But you could argue that
Elliott doesn't serve any.
Okay, so see, I would argue that we said game suspended, not games served in a suspension for 2017.
Please. I'm going to file an injunction against you in court to stay my loss. And I'm not sitting next to Uncle Clem Thanksgiving this year. Maybe next year. We'll leave it up to the courts, but I will have my day, sir. I will have my day in court.
Well, I tell you, the first thing that you need to do if you want to try to stay this is you got to go count the pumps.
Find the pumps. Oh, God. All right.
Because if he didn't pump 3 times or more, then it doesn't matter with the Elliott suspension.
That's true. I need to submit official pump documentation to the court in order to gain my temporary restraining order.
Yes. You've got to screen grab the pumps, preferably in GIF form, so that I can verify the pumps.
The pump must be verified. Yeah, that's true. I'll like do it legit too. I feel like it'd be easy to fake this, but it's too, the integrity of this is much too important for me to do that. So they will be legitimate pumps.
All right.
I'm nervous about that because Antonio Brown had a big game, but he didn't score a touchdown. So
yeah, I feel like
pumping
good.
Opportunity would be pretty low, I would think.
Well, a lot of catches he could have pumped on. He had like 182 yards, so plenty of catch pumping. But is he the kind of guy who? I mean, I think we talked about this before. You were thinking he was just going to be psyched to get out there and start pumping, and he was going to be pumping on first downs, pumping on.
Yeah,
just every reception. So
that was
11 receptions. That's 11 pump opportunities.
That's true. That was the thesis, if you will, of why I took that bet. I kind of feel like if he had pumped a lot, we would have already seen it on Twitter and such.
Yeah.
But we can't say for sure that he didn't. So I'm going to have to do some research into that. I'm going to fight this to the end because I'm not sitting next to Uncle Clem. If I lose this, I might just have to like Skype into Thanksgiving and you can put my laptop next to him. I'll allow that, but
I don't know if I'll allow that. Cause that's,
we never
like
said I physically had to sit next to him, man.
You're not sitting next to him. If your computer's next to him,
I'm sitting like... and my Skype is next to him. Well, this will be an additional challenge in court. I'll add it as a rider to my seat.
All right. Well, we'll bring you back on, see how that pump research is going, before Thanksgiving to see.
Okay,
who
fair. I have until Thanksgiving to deliver my the results of my research. That's fair.
Right. So, one more thing I wanted to cover with you here, Mike, before we let you go. I mentioned that I was in Vegas this past week, and I watched the week 1 NFL games out there. We did a live Fantasyland show as part of the FFPC main event, and so then we stuck around and we watched the games, put some money down on the Rams to cover, which I feel like we should have somehow asked them to make us take on more points, you know what I mean?
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, you could have teased that Well, actually, not even really. Yeah, you could have done a reverse teaser.
I went a reverse teaser. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. But you know, just a reminder, obviously, with football back, how fun betting on these games is, even outside of fantasy. So just wanted to remind everyone.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't signed up for MyBookie, make sure you do that. That's mybookie.ag. The best part about MyBookie, besides the fact that you can do live in-game betting, and the fact that they actually pay out, which is like obviously the number one thing you're looking for in a site.
Definitely a nice feature. One of the key features, you know, it's in the top five.
Potentially
I would say.
The key feature, yeah.
Yeah, arguably.
But another awesome feature is that if you make a deposit with MyBookie, they're going to match that deposit with a 100% bonus. And ooh. Yeah. And so if you sign up this month with our promo code ROTORADIO, you got to use ROTORADIO as the promo code to get the 100% bonus. And if you sign up with the code this month, and then you forward us a copy of your sign up to rotovisradio@gmail.com, you're going to be entered into a drawing for a limited edition Rotoviz athletic jacket.
Nice.
Yeah.
What kind of jacket? What do you mean athletic? Like, what kind of material are we talking here?
Yeah, so I actually pulled these up because at first I thought, did that mean hoodie? It doesn't mean hoodie. It's a pullover.
Okay. Yeah. I've done some very unathletic things wearing a hoodie, so I would assume not.
It's like a pullover with like kind of a zip down, like kind of a, you know, zip down to the chest area. I guess I don't know.
Oh,
if that's
okay.
What you'd call
half
that.
Zip.
Half zip. Yeah.
So this is like something you'd wear golfing, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. It's like a long sleeve.
Nice.
You know, wear a t-shirt underneath kind of thing. Perfect for golfing in the fall.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to get that thing.
Yeah, sign up for
my
bookie,
man.
Use
that promo code ROTORADIO.
Yeah, so, you know, once again, that's mybookie.ag and the promo code ROTORADIO. And then you also got to make sure to forward us your email confirmation if you want in on that sweet Rotoviz athletic jacket. / half zip pullover. All right, man. Thanks so much for coming on, and we'll catch up with you after you get your pump research done and we figure out who has to sit next to Uncle Clem at Thanksgiving.
It's important, you know. I know my boss is expecting me to get a lot of things done tomorrow, but he's, you know, they're just gonna have to understand. I have pump research to do, so.
Yep. Just tell them you're working on a project. You know, they'll get it.
Yeah. Exactly. It's the truth. I would not be lying. So. Cool. All right, man. Well, thanks for having me on.
Fantasy football fans, listen up. If you love fantasy football, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. Here's how it works. You do a draft that lasts for just 1 week, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you could join one right now. And the best part? You play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. There's no salary caps, so you play in real-life snake drafts, just like you would with your friends in a season-long league. So come in, join me, draft against me on Draft Today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes or play right from your computer on playdraft.com, whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code RV Radio. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using my promo code RV Radio on your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and come play free with promo code RV Radio. Please welcome to the show George Kritikos. He's a writer for PFF. Fantasy. You may also be familiar with his work from his previous work at DLF and the fantastic Filmmetrics podcast. George, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. I know we got the chance to meet in person, which is always awesome. One of us decided to leave Vegas. The other one of us, that would be me, decided to stay a little longer.
Yeah, it was great hanging out in Vegas, and I don't know how you're doing it, man. You've been there now. It's been about a week.
Yeah, it's day six. It's rough, man. I still got a few more to go. So it's not gonna be easy. I got till Friday, so I have 3 more days left after this.
Oh man, Vegas is not built to spend 10 days there. That's rough. So hang in there, man. But yeah, it was awesome hanging out. And I should mention, For anyone not following George on Twitter, you can remedy that by following him at RotoHack. But yeah, so we hung out on Saturday, but we you met up with Jeff Miller and we're watching the games. I was over still at the Planet Hollywood, so we didn't watch the games together on Sunday. How did week one go for you, and how did the action treat you?
Overall, I had a pretty good week. I was lucky on a few injuries, but did take it on the chin a bit with one or two. But I'm sure we'll get into some of those in a minute. But overall, I had a pretty good week one. Not really too worried, but it's going to be that first set of waiver runs that's going to be pretty exciting to see how things kind of shake out.
Yeah, definitely. You know, week one, we were also excited to finally see some actual NFL football, and it gives us a chance to figure out what roles players are going to be in and how they're going to perform. But at the same time, it's pretty easy to overreact as well, just given that, you know, we're so pumped up for that week, and it's going to stick in our minds really more than even next week's football, the week after. So how much basically are you updating your priors after week one, and what type of things are you paying the most attention to?
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely do some updating. You know, I mentioned the injuries before. Obviously, those things, it's a little easier to make those updates, especially if you're talking about, you know, season-long, you know, rankings or lists versus when you're getting into Dynasty and it's a multi-year kind of view. But then I think there's something to be said for trying to react fairly quickly, just because that's the way that this game works, especially when you're thinking about waiver wire options, when you're thinking about start sits, even in the early part of the season. So I tend to, you know, make some changes. I obviously injuries kind of take priority because those are a little bit easier to understand than some of the timeshare changes and things like that. But I think you have to take as much as you can into account. Although I will say I'm not necessarily dropping Andy Dalton very far in my rankings.
Makes sense. Well, let's get into some of the injuries. We're recording this Tuesday morning. The latest with David Johnson is that he's expected to miss significant time with a dislocated wrist. It seems like that could be 8 to 12 weeks potentially. How interested are you in Kerwin Williams as a pickup? And then I was also reading some rumblings about them maybe signing Chris Johnson, given how long he's going to be out. So does that factor in at all? You know, thinking that Williams could end up in a timeshare, or is he someone you're pretty interested in as a potential two-down starter?
Yeah, I mean, I think at least he'll get a chance to kind of take over the running work, and they seem to really want to commit to that to an extent. I mean, obviously with David Johnson, they really did, but I think they're going to still look at the run game pretty significantly, knowing that, you know, Palmer's not necessarily the same Carson Palmer from a few years ago. You know, they also signed DJ Foster off the practice squad from the Patriots, and he's another really good pass-catching back. So they have him along with Andre Ellington. And if they do sign Chris Johnson, he's another one who's capable of catching the ball out of the backfield. So, I mean, it seems like Williams is likely going to be that runner unless he completely falters, but then he just doesn't have the PPR upside. So, you know, in standard leagues, which I'm not in very many, but in standard leagues, I'm willing to kind of take a shot a lot more heavily than I am in a PPR league, knowing that his upside is a little bit capped because of that inability to maybe pick up the PPR work, the receiving work.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about some of the PPR guys that are potential pickups then. The Danny Woodhead was hurt this week, which led to an unexpectedly large role for Buck Allen. And then Tariq Cohen also had an unexpectedly large role because he's the truth. How much are you buying these guys going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with my Chicago Bear. I loved Cohen. He seemed to just walk into that perfect situation between, you know, coming on a team that needed playmakers that really were lacking that. As much as Jordan Howard's a good running back, he's not necessarily a big play guy. But Jeremy Langford had faltered, and then they ended up cutting him in favor of Cohen, and then Cameron Meredith is out, and now Kevin White is out as well. So they really just need anyone they can who's capable of not only catching the ball but also kind of making big plays, and that's kind of where Cohen's niche is. So you know, for example, he had five snaps outside at wide receiver, and he was targeted on all five of those snaps and caught three of them. So it's pretty clear that they want to get him involved in different ways, and they're willing to kind of be creative, something that they never really did when they had a guy like Devin Hester, for example. So hopefully they keep that up. I think that he's a pretty good waiver wire target, but I'm guessing it's probably going to take at least half of your waiver wire budget just to get him. As far as Buck Allen, I mean, I was surprised that he got so many carries in that game after Danny Woodhead went out, but you know, very clearly they want to have a versatile option in the backfield, even if he's not a very good one. So I'm a little less interested in Buck Allen, but I think that ultimately he's going to be a guy who probably gets 12 to 15 touches every game. You know, yeah. Week one being a bit of an exception, I don't think he'll get 21 carries very consistently.
Yeah, I'm with you on both of those. I think with Cohen, the thing that is so enticing about him too is that the Bears are going to be trailing a lot. So yeah, I think if he continues to have that role, and why wouldn't he, given what he did on Sunday, there should be a lot of opportunity there for him.
Well, and if you like measurements, you know, and you're like one of those big hand Twitter people, it's kind of amazing that he has 10 1/8 inch hands, but he's only 5'6".
Wow. I didn't know that. Yeah, and the dude can change direction. His nickname's the human joystick. He certainly lives up to it. All right, so another big injury, Allen Robinson. He's now officially out for the year with a torn ACL. How do you think his injury is going to impact the offense, and how interested are you in picking up guys like Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns?
Yeah, I mean, I took a few shares of Marquise Lee late in drafts during the offseason. I really did like his potential in that offense, even though it seemed like the team was trying to transition more to a run first defense type of approach. But he was a guy who last year looked really good at times. He, you know, Allen Hurns was injured off and on throughout the year last year. And then when he was healthy, he was mostly relegated to the slot. So, I mean, I think the big winner here is probably going to be Allen Hurns from a role standpoint, but it might be Marquise Lee is the bigger winner in terms of a target share standpoint. So yeah, I mean, if Marquise Lee is out there in waivers, which I don't know how much that's the case, I think he's worth a speculative add. Same with Hurns. I wouldn't break the bank for either one necessarily, just because I do think they're going to stay a pretty run heavy offense as much as they can and protect themselves from the quarterback travesty they have going on there. So, you know, they're good ads just in case one of the two break out, but I wouldn't necessarily bet on it.
Yeah, and you mentioned them being run heavy. Obviously, that was the case on Sunday. They were absolutely dominant over Houston, winning 29-7. And Leonard Fournette was able to rack up 100 yards on 26 rushes. He also had a touchdown. But given that they just lost Robinson and that, in my opinion, this is going to be Jacksonville's only blowout win of the season. I think it's unlikely that they get another. Do you think that Fournette could actually be a sell high coming off this game?
I mean, you could definitely make the argument. I wouldn't fault anyone who would say that. I would probably still hold, just because I don't know how many good, solid running backs you're going to have who are going to get a consistent workload. And even though I agree with you, I think that they're not going to get very many blowout wins, I think they're going to try to slow the pace enough to where Fournette at least gets some pretty good work in and has at least a pretty safe floor. So, yeah, I'm probably still holding on, just because I think there's more to be had here in terms of how he can produce for your fantasy team. I think the touchdowns will come and everything else. And so, yeah, I'm probably not quite on the sell high train yet, but I can see how that could be the case soon if they do see their defense start to struggle.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville's defense is probably legit, but they don't get to play Tom Savage and then a rookie who wasn't prepared to start in the game every week. So, and I just think Blake Bortles, you know, they were able to get away with just 21 attempts from Blake Bortles. You know, he completed only 11 of them. Did throw a touchdown, no interception from Blake Bortles. In the first segment of this episode, George, I had my brother back on. we had done some prop bets, like I think about a month or month and a half ago, and one of the prop bets was Blake Bortles interceptions versus Seth DeValve targets. So I took the Blake Bortles interceptions and lost that one, but I think most weeks I'll win that one. All right, so let me just kind of quick question here. Given what we saw on Sunday, some surprise performances from these two players, who's more legit for 2017, Nelson Agholor or Shane Vereen?
I'm going to say, oh man, that's actually really tough. I think Aguilar is probably going to be a bit more legit for 2017. I like both guys, which is kind of depressing. But with Vereen, I mean, he's not going to get that type of attention necessarily in the offense. I mean, having Odell Beckham out, having multiple score deficit, I think that's probably going to be a bit more of an anomaly. Whereas I feel like Aguilar is capable of still having some big plays throughout the season. I don't necessarily think that he's going to be, you know, the top receiver there or anything like that, but I'd be more confident betting Aguilar could take over the second wide receiver spot and actually produce pretty well versus Shane Vereen being a consistently startable asset for a fantasy team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the key difference is that the Giants' offense was not operating the way they wanted it to, and the team overall was not performing that well. And so I think Vereen's role may have been, you know, somewhat a result of them just being behind and not, you know, nothing else really working. He did have 10 targets, 9 receptions, 51 yards. So quite a nice line. But, you know, Philadelphia, on the other hand, was in that game for most of the game, eventually pulled ahead at the end, won the game. So what I'm thinking is that this was Philadelphia's offense was basically running as they planned. And Aguilar was a big part of that. He got 8 targets, converted 6 for 86 and a touchdown. So, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with Aguilar. We took a shot on him late in our FFPC main event draft, got him, I think the 17th round. So kind of pleasantly surprised. I think his role is probably pretty legit.
Yeah, and I mean, half of Vereen's targets came on that last little drive there where they kept dumping it off to him. And you know, hey, all those stats count towards fantasy and everything else, but I think you have to look at it as, is that a repeatable thing? And I just don't really think it is. So, you know, seeing him as a 5 to 6 target a game guy is probably more realistic for Shane Vereen than, you know, 9 or 10 targets like he had last week.
Makes sense. All right, so It's kind of early in the week here, but in terms of week two, what kind of jumps out to you looking at the games and kind of the individual player matchups just kind of early on here?
Yeah, I mean, depending on which ways you want to look at things, but, you know, the Raiders playing the Jets, I mean, obviously there's a lot of startable Raiders in that game, so we should expect to see something good. I know everyone was happy about the Amari Cooper touchdown, but he also had 4 drops in that game, so there still is some concern there, and if he keeps that up, I mean, obviously the team won't bench him, but you could see Derek Carr maybe consciously going away from him a little bit if that's a concern, so I hope to see him kind of, you know, that be a one-off as opposed to a bigger problem. But playing the Jets, I mean, they're just not a very good defense. So you hope that he can have a big game there. I mean, you know, some of the primetime games are pretty good. The Packers, Falcons, the Cowboys, and Broncos are that 4 p.m. Eastern game. And it'll be interesting to see if Dez can get anything done against the Broncos secondary. So there's some good games there. I mean, I think I'd like to see how DeShone Kizer does in week 2 because he had a pretty interesting week 1. He's got the Ravens this week at Baltimore, so that should be a tough matchup for him. The Eagles and Chiefs is another one I'm really interested to see just because with how good the Chiefs did in week 1, and you kind of mentioned the Eagles, and they looked pretty impressive overall. I think that'll be a good test for them as well. And then, you know, the Patriots-Saints is another one that's going to be fun. You know, see which of the two offenses can really get going. But, yeah, there's a lot of great matchups for the week, but I think even more so there's just a lot of good competitive games that should start to help validate some of the findings that we got out of week 1 versus maybe, you know, starting to kind of reveal some things that maybe we think might be happening, but aren't. So, yeah, it's a good slate this week. So, you know, everyone was already excited that football's back, and I think week two is going to be one that really helps, helps people get excited for the rest of the season.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, the thing with Amari Cooper was so frustrating because he's finally getting – he got three red zone targets, three end zone targets right in a row, and didn't convert. And, you know, he finally was getting the targets where, you know, Amari Cooper fans like myself had been wanting him to get, you know, instead of them going to Seth Roberts or something. So and then for him not to convert was very frustrating. But I think the Jets should provide some more red zone action for a lot of the players on the Raiders. Hopefully Cooper can convert one of those. In terms of the Jets, what did you think of their kind of wide receiver target distribution? Jermaine Kearse actually led them in targets with 9. Robbie Anderson had 8, but just converted for 4 for 22. And Kearse had 7 for 59. Obviously, the Jets are not going to be our source for fantasy goodness here, but you know, I think potentially their top wide receiver, the top targeted wide receiver, just given how far behind they're going to be in pretty much every game this year, could have some, you know, fantasy juice there. So is that going to be Kearse, you think, or is Anderson just kind of slowly coming on?
I was a guy who bought Anderson because he was pretty cheap for most of the offseason, even after Quincy was hurt. So for me, I'm still kind of on that train a little bit. I know Kearse had a pretty nice game. I mean, obviously, you're not really excited about anybody, like you said. I'm worried that they're just going to keep throwing all these really short balls. And yeah, they're going to rack up catches and targets. But, I mean, when you're going 7 for 59 or you're going, in the case of Rishard Matthews, I think it was 5 for 71, and that was partially on him getting some yards after the catch. It's going to be tough to really buy into anyone, but I think Anderson's got a little bit more of a dynamic game, so he's the one that I'm kind of preferring if we're actually having to spend a roster spot on either of these guys.
Yeah, and I should mention our Darius Stewart had 5 targets, just 2 for 10, but that's probably a good sign for him, just getting on the field right away as a rookie. So that could be interesting there if he starts to come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he's a guy who at Alabama got a lot of kind of short screens and things like that because he was such a good playmaker. You know, he was great on special teams. He was a guy who could throw the ball. We saw that in the championship game against Clemson. So if they're smart, they'll find ways to get him on the field and hopefully, you know, find some creative ways to get the offense going through him at times.
And then let's just close with, you mentioned the Patriots and Saints, obviously both of them coming off rough week one outings, but the Saints are now going to be at home for that game. Drew Brees obviously does much better as, you know, at home than he does as a road underdog like he was against the Vikings. That game obviously has shootout potential. I don't think anyone – that's not going to be lost on anyone. But do you think that, you know, for DFS purposes and, you know, just kind of people's mindset about this game, do you think that the negative impression that both teams gave us on week one will lead people to not being kind of as heavily on that game as they otherwise might be?
I mean, that's certainly possible. And I think there are enough other matchups that are going to help that too. You know, there's, like we talked about with the Raiders and Jets, you know, there's a good chance that there's a lot of Raiders stacks because the Jets are just so bad. So you could get a few of those as well. So I think there's some possibility there. I'd be curious to see, you know, how much that mindset creeps in just because the Patriots are the Patriots and they kind of get a little bit of a pass, you know, because they're such a good team when they do have that one down week. So, you know, it'll be tough to say. I'm interested to see what Tom Brady can do with all these injuries and changes at his receiving options. So, I think it'll probably come in a little bit underowned compared to what people might have expected before the season started.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Patriots defense might be, at this point in the season anyway, worse than the Saints defense, which is a weird place to be in. But of course,
I'm with you there, man.
Yeah,
I'm with you there.
The Saints defense just made Sam Bradford look like a Hall of Famer. So maybe it's not quite that bad. But anyway, George, thanks so much for joining me. This was a ton of fun, and yeah, always great talking football with you. So stay safe, and you know, keep chugging along out there in Vegas. I hope you make it all the way till Friday. But everyone, make sure to follow George on Twitter at RotoHack and follow his work at PFF Fantasy. Thanks again, man.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for listening to RotoViz Radio, the flagship RotoViz podcast. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the established RotoViz Radio feed. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter, at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/radio.